Well, good morning. Today we start a new series called A Snapshot of Heaven. And I'm hoping over these weeks that we will have a renewed understanding of what heaven is like, and it might have an impact of how we live today. Now, one of the things that got me thinking about this series was a country song that came out this year. And the writer of that song, actually, I know, because his family was at seminary at the same time I was. And it's not a Christian song, so I'm not putting that out there. But the song went something like this. Everyone keeps talking about heaven like they can't wait to go. He says, I don't know. And he talks about his own situation in life. He says, but how can heaven be better than this? And I think that's true. I mean, how can heaven be better than this at times when things are going well? And I think about heaven, I think, what really is heaven going to be like? I mean, we have this understanding, and some people are like, they don't understand, but it's like, is heaven going to be just one big worship service? People are like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I can't even stand 1 hour and 10 minutes here at Slate Hill. And, you know, it could be singing all the time, it could be up in the clouds. Or maybe it's a picture like this that we have here on the screen. It's Wish I Brought a Magazine. That's a Far Side cartoon. And the reason we think about this is because it's idea in heaven that we're on clouds and we're just going to be floating around and we're going to be out there. We're going to become an angel looking around. And, you know, I have to admit with you, that does sound a little boring. Just kind of hang out in the clouds. There was a quote from Isaac Asimov, who is a famous science fiction writer, who said this, I do not believe in the afterlife, so I do not have to spend my whole life fearing hell, or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse. Now, I appreciate what he says in that quote. It's what many people think, that maybe heaven is just going to be boring. And I thought, well, how did we get to this point? How do we get to this point that this is our whole view of heaven can be about this, maybe boring or sort of floating up in the air? And I think we need to look at a backstory. The origin of this perception of heaven, of this immaterial thing that we're floating around, this angel kind of thing that we're going to turn into. And so I want to go back, a little history lesson, back to a Greek named Plato. Plato believed that the material world was bad, and the spiritual world was good. So the physical was awful, and the spiritual was good. And at first glance, it sounds Christian. And we want to get rid of our physical bodies and dream of a day we will get rid of that and a physical world, and we will live in this amazing spiritual world. And the emphasis then was on the spiritual. And it sounded right to even the early Christian fathers. But they integrated some of this thought of Plato's thoughts into Christian theology, and they came up with this idea, this worldly, otherworldly view of heaven. But I thought, well, okay, if that's true, then where did this idea of angels come from? And I did some research and figured out that probably it came from Emanuel Swedenborg, who's a theologian back in 1758. He wrote a book on heaven, and he speculated that when you die, you become an angel. And this exploded with popularity that is still here today. So I thought, where we have Plato and Swedenborg, they're using their reason, their imagination, they're speculating what heaven might be like. But I thought, well, you know, reason's good, speculation is good, but why don't we look at what God says in the scriptures? And I know that's a little fuzzy at times, and we don't have clear pictures of what heaven is like. But I think the best place that we can look is to look in the Bible. We don't need to guess. And we have this revelation at the end of the Bible. And so the question is, are we going to really be floating around on clouds? Do we need a magazine so we don't get bored? So over these next weeks, we're going to look at the last two chapters of Revelation 21 and 22. But today I want to start with Revelation 21 and part of that, and this is what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Now, this is chock full. I'm going to camp today on this one verse. It's got so much to say. So we break it down. It says this, then I saw. Who is I? It's the Apostle Paul. He was the only one that was not killed for his faith. Others were martyred for their faith. And here's John, an old man in prison on an island called Patmos. And he gets this vision of heaven. It would be like God put this video in his head to be played and gives John a glimpse of the future, of this future of heaven and on earth. So what it seems to suggest is that there's this present heaven and this present earth, and then there's going to be this future heaven and this future earth. Now, we know about present heaven right now because we get glimpses in the Bible. And one of the good examples is when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, remember what he said? Today, you will be with me in paradise. And Christians who die today go to this glorious present place called paradise. They're in heaven with Jesus. But then we have this focus of this future heaven and this future earth. And you can say, well, why are we spending all this time in this series looking at this future heaven? And I think the reason we're going to look about the future heaven is because our lives and this first heaven that we're experiencing is a relatively short time compared to this future heaven that is talked about in Revelations. And so God has given John this revelation. And when John describes this, he chooses words. He might have recalled words from Isaiah 65:17, which says this, I will someday make a new heaven and a new earth. Now, John knew these words. And though we are looking at Revelation, I think it's a reminder for us today to realize that there's other parts in the Bible besides Revelation that talks about heaven. Now, one thing I want to clarify today is this word heaven. I believe this word heaven can mean two things. The first thing it can mean is our eternal home, where we are going to be with God when we die. Then the other use of heaven, or the heavens, refers to this outer space, the sky. And I believe that is used here in this new universe or new heaven. But then also he talks about this earth. Now this is where I want to pause for a moment. Because what I'm about to say may or may not be right. It's fuzzy. It's a commitment that I think is, as I study more and more, I think is what is really what God is saying to me and to us. But it's probably going to be a little bit different than this, than the picture up here about what heaven looks like and about us floating around up in heaven and just kind of buzzing around from different cloud to different cloud. I believe when he says there is an earth, that our eternal home is going to be a planet made of dirt and rocks. Now, that may be shocking to some of you because it contrasts the view that you have of heaven. And the better description of our eternal home is that we're going to have our physical resurrected bodies on a resurrected planet. When we look at these two chapters in Revelation 21 and 22, we see physical environments. We see bustling city walls, gates and trees and mountains and natural streams and crystal clear waters and trees and food and precious gems. And so I believe that we are going to a planet, and that planet is Earth. And they're like, wait a minute, Lynn, have you gone off your rocker? That is not what I have been told. So just hear me out. This planet, restored and remade, is where we are going to spend eternity. Now, I know some would argue that there's a completely new planet as our eternal home, and I'm not going to argue with that. But I think one of the keys of the Bible, as we scan the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there is a theme that is pressing. There's a theme that is even included in Revelations 21 and 22, and that is this theme of redemption. That Jesus came to save the day, to redeem humanity. There was problems, even Adam and Eve, and there was this rebellion. And they said, we don't need you, God, and this curse happened, and everything has gone wrong, and there's decay, and there's death, and there's disease, and there's relational conflicts. And Jesus came as a savior, as a rescuer, and as a restorer. And we tend to say that Jesus came to rescue us as human beings. But if you look closely in the Bible, and many of the passages we're going to look at seem to suggest that Jesus came to save people and to save his creation, that he's a restorer. I don't know if many of you have watched the TV shows on HGTV of these remaking of houses. You know, sometimes I've watched a few of those shows, and I see this old house, and my first thought is this. Bulldoze it. Just bulldoze that thing. There is no hope for that house. You know what I'm talking about? And yet here comes Chip and Joanne, or here comes some of these other people that you know, and they come in and say, you will not believe what we can do with this house. And I find out that the homeowners or whatever, they're like, yeah, I just can't see this. Yeah, I can't visualize what this is going to look like. And then what tends to happen is, you know, there's this great reveal, right? They pull back the curtains, and all at once this house that was just kind of hanging there was pulled back, and this beautiful house is remade. And the owners of the house are just like, this is incredible. It's more than I ever thought was going to happen. You see, I don't think God is just bulldozing down his creation. I think he strips it down to the studs, and he's trying to rebuild and remake his heavenly home here on earth, because God loves renovation. God does not want to strip away and just bulldoze everything, because God created it. And so there's a couple passages I want to look at today. The first one is Colossians 1:20, and it says this, for God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things through Christ, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So he's going to reconcile all things through Christ, all things to himself, all things that have gone bad. And then in Revelation 21:5, he says here, I am here to make all things new. I'm going to make it new. I'm going to make it better than what it was. Or Matthew 29:18, he talks about the end of time. He says, at the renewal of all things, I will rebuild. Or Romans 8:21, in the New Living Translation, it says this, all creation is subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. When he says join God's children in Romans 8:21, he has this description of our physical resurrected bodies. That our bodies will be like these bodies, but they will be a resurrected body. So the good news or the bad news, no matter how you look at it, is you will have the same kind of body that you have now on planet Earth. And somebody say, I don't know if I like that. If God's going to do that, let's get a really to redeem and make my body perfect. He will. So if God is going to resurrect our bodies, just like Jesus had a resurrected body, the same kind of body he had when he was walking here on Earth, then the question I get so many times when people walk into my office and they talk to me about different things about end of life, and they talk about this idea about cremation. Lynn, what do you think about cremation? Well, I don't tell them what I think about cremation necessarily, but they have questions about this. And one of the questions is, if this is really true that we have our resurrected bodies and that we have been cremated, then how in the world, if we're cremated and someone takes this thing out and throws it across the ocean, all the ashes, how is God going to take that and bring it back into our own physical bodies? It's a good question. And I thought, well, you know, those who are cremated have dust, and those who have been sitting in tombstones for 2,000 years are dust also. And I think about God. I think about back in Genesis when he said that he took the dust of the earth to make man and women, to make Adam and Eve. He remade the resurrection body out of their old stuff. Now, I've wondered about that. Why? Why is God going through all that effort? Why choose to resurrect our old bodies? I think it says something really important about God and about Jesus, the reason he came. I think it says that God is not going to give up on you. He's going to renew what is broken. Death will not win. He will conquer death. And the whole story of the Bible is God's great redemption. And we go through this physical resurrection to new life. It also says that creation is looking forward to the same thing. The same thing that we will enjoy, this new creation. And if it's here on planet Earth or somewhere else, I don't think it matters. But he looks to this earth, looks to the old, and says, you know what? I can bring something beautiful and new. I'll take it down to the studs, and I'll bring it up, and I'll create something wonderful. So I believe God is intending us to restore us and to restore his creation. And I think it's God's beautiful story. It's a story that we read about. And then we go back to the verse, Revelation 21:1. He talks about this new earth being renewed. And the Greek word for new here in Revelation 21, the original language, is kain, which means new and improved quality. Similar, but better. Like having a new iPhone because your old one just doesn't get it anymore. A new version. And I think this newness, this new thing is the curse is gone. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There's no more disease. That will all be removed. And I believe that heaven will even be better than the Garden of Eden. Because I believe God saved his best for last. I believe that when we're in heaven, and what that looks like here on earth is that when we look at a mountain, we look at it so beautiful. But when we have that restoration, the mountains will be even more beautiful. The rushing rivers will be just amazing. It will take your breath away. The music will be at levels we have never heard before. It's all going to be amazing. You say, well, Lynn, okay, that's great. You just gave me a synopsis of what this is going to look like. You even gave me a little bit about new heaven and new earth. But how does this really have implications in my daily life today? I'm glad you asked that question. I believe C.S. Lewis says it well. I believe C.S. Lewis would say this. He said this, "We have joy when this world reminds us of the next, and we take solace when it does not." I love that quote. Let me say it again. We can have joy when this world reminds us of the next, and we can take solace when it does not. When you see what that means? That when you take a look, when things are going well, when you take a look at a beautiful mountain and you're reminded of beautiful things, you say, wow, that is amazing. But just think, it'll even be better than that. Or if there's pain or things are awful or things not going good, we have that hope, anticipation of a better version of our life. Let me flesh that out today, how that looks for me as an example. This past weekend, the past one, did you notice? The weather was spectacular, wasn't it? I mean, it was as good as it gets. If we could just bottle that weather and have it 365 days, it would be heaven. The other thing I thought about as I walked out, the cool breeze in the morning. I walked out the cool breeze and I'm like, this is amazing. And I walked over to my tomato plant for the first time in 4 years. They're like big and beautiful and all the fruit on it. And I thought, this is amazing. God, your bounty of this earth is just incredible. And I thought, wow, God, you just outdone yourself with creation. It's amazing. But I know, as I walked, I know, as beautiful as it was, as perfect as that weather was, I know that there's a better version coming than what I experienced for that weekend. And let me add, I had a very encouraging word from someone that weekend that just said, wow, God, is it going to be like this in heaven? Even more. Well, let me get to the solace part. When it comes to conflicts, relational conflicts, you get a phone call this past week of the death of a person, from someone in our church that knew really well, that died way too young. As I get up in the morning and I feel a little differently than I did years ago, a few more aches in my back, a few more pains. When I'm just like, cancer just seems to be rampant everywhere. I hate cancer. I can't believe I hear stories of people with cancer, stage four, and different things that happen and people in your life. And I'm like, God, why? Why? I have solace that it's temporary. This is not our eternal home. See, one of the great things about Revelation is that it's like a movie trailer, isn't it? It gives us a snapshot. I mean, how many of you like to watch movie trailers? Because movie trailers are so important because you decide by watching that movie trailer whether you go to that movie or not. And that's why usually the movie trailer has all the best stuff in there or piquing your interest, because that's how movies are. But I think about John. In the book of Revelation, he gets this video, this vision from God about what heaven might be like. That John gives us a foretaste, a trailer. And I thought, well, isn't this amazing? We have a trailer of heaven, and we have a trailer, but let's live the trailer. Let's live the foretaste of what comes in our own lives. And we see glimpses of that here on earth, and we know it's even better in heaven, and we know those things that get us down, and things don't look good, and we have solace to know that it's only temporary. Now, as I close today, I talked all about heaven. There's a lot more to come in the next weeks. But my one concern, and I talk about heaven, is this. That maybe we can come to the assumption that we are studying heaven, or where that might be, that everyone goes to. And if I gave that impression, I'm sorry. That people go to heaven are those who are reconciled to God, who has Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And those who trust Jesus have a clear place to go called heaven. When you seek reconciliation, when you confess to God, when you have this relationship with Jesus, when you want to get right with God, when you desire to go to heaven, that improved home that you cannot wait to go. God's our great restorer. He takes life when it's broken down. He restores us. He makes something beautiful out of our lives. By faith, we can come to him. Let us pray. Lord, we confess today that the words of my mouth And my conviction of what this may look like is fuzzy. And Lord, I know that you intended it that way. You intended us to have this glimpse, this movie trailer of heaven, but we really don't know exactly what it's all about. We try to dig into your scriptures, Lord, and try to figure it out, look at some of your themes and the way that you are, the nature of who you are. But we really don't know. But Lord, what I am so excited about is whether it's a new earth or another earth or what that might look like. We can get so wrapped up in the weeds that we forget the beauty and the majesty of our eternal home. And Lord, I cannot wait to get to heaven. But Lord, I'm also like that country song a little bit. When things are going well, I just don't understand why people can't wait to get to heaven, because it seems pretty good right now. Lord, we're reminded of the context of Revelation, that the people that John was writing to were going through heavy trials and tribulations. Lord, I pray for those here today who may be going through these trials and tribulations also, that are just suffering and are looking for something special. Lord, I pray for your peace. Lord, I pray for your peace to come into them, to know that heaven can be their home. And so, Lord, at times where we think, wow, this is so good here on earth, may we be reminded that it only gets better when we're with and communing with you in that place called heaven. Amen.